Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we do finally have the analyst consensus estimates for Tesla's Q3 earnings report. So I do want to spend a little bit of time just comparing that versus my forecast and talk about some of the reasons for the big differences. Then we've got some news on NHTSA. NHTSA has appointed a new senior safety advisor, so we'll talk about that choice. We've also got some analyst updates ahead of earnings, some news on the Cybertruck, and a couple other stories as well. Quick look at the stock. Tesla today ending its 6-day run of finishing positive, closing down 0.2% to $864.27. That did significantly trail the NASDAQ, which was positive on the day, 0.7%. All right, so first up today, I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about the analyst consensus estimates. We do finally have those now, so you can see them all here in the kind of light gray column there on the right side of the Q3 forecasts. Two columns there. So one is the company compiled analyst consensus estimates. So that's the average across 24 estimates. And then the column to the right of that is how my forecast compares to that consensus. So we won't spend a ton of time on this, but we'll talk briefly about the differences and what may be driving those, because I think that will really help us understand the results when we get them tomorrow. The differences start off right away. So if we look at total sales or revenue, consensus estimate is about $13.9 billion. I'm all the way at $14.6 billion. And if you look at the different categories there between automotive, energy, services, and others, really the biggest difference is in automotive, where I'm about $650 million higher, which is quite a difference considering we already know the delivery numbers. Consensus is expecting higher regulatory credit sales too, so the actual difference in automotive revenue ex credits is even bigger, about $750 million between my forecast and consensus. That really starts off the differences that continue throughout the forecast. So my gross profit is 13% higher than consensus, my total gross margin percentage 200 basis points higher. Then despite almost identical operating expenses, interestingly enough, my operating margin is 250 basis points higher due to that additional gross profit that flows down into net income, where again, I'm at $2.10 non-GAAP diluted earnings per share versus consensus here at $1.69. So as I said, most of the differences here are as a result of automotive revenue ex credits. And because we already know deliveries, it's really a result of different forecasts for average selling price. Because my forecast is so different than consensus, I wanted to break that down and understand it a little bit better, so I put together this quick little table here. I'm showing automotive revenue, deliveries, and average selling price, but what I have done to help understand things is excluded Model S and Model X. Obviously, that's just S in this case. I've excluded that because we know with Model S being 4% of deliveries in Q3 versus 1% in Q2, that's naturally going to boost the average selling price. So if we include that here, it makes it more difficult to understand what the remaining part of the forecast is. So I'm taking that out so that we can get a cleaner look. Then you also have to factor out leasing for average selling price, and you have to take out regulatory credits. So we've got a clean look here at basically Model 3 and Model Y business lines. For Q2, the average selling price was around $50,500. My Q3 forecast has that increasing to $51,184, or about a 1% increase. But the consensus actually has that dropping by about $2,700 quarter over quarter, 5% decline from Q2. Remember the table I put together with all of the average selling price influencers here? I just can't understand how that would be going down so significantly quarter over quarter. We've got more Model Y, we had price increases hitting, we have European Model Y, deliveries of the Model 3 in China, which I believe are the lowest ASP vehicles, that declined as a percent of total. Then you may have had Tesla also start prioritizing more expensive trim vehicles within the third quarter. Really, the only thing counteracting that is some deliveries of the standard range Model Y in China. I just don't see how that could mix out to drive the Model 3 and Model Y combined average selling price down by $2,700 from Q2. So we'll look at one more table here. This is a hypothetical scenario to help understand that point. So again, we've got the Q2 automotive revenue, deliveries, and average selling price. And then what I'm saying is okay, we know Q3 deliveries. Let's just assume that all of the incremental deliveries in Q3 were standard range Model Ys, and let's also assume that they didn't have any other options, so just the base vehicle, which in China starts out at $45,700. The rest of deliveries then, we just assume the ASP stayed the same as Q2. Under that scenario, the average selling price of the Model 3 and the Model Y combined only drops to about $49,700, so only down about 2% quarter over quarter, or $2,000 higher of an average selling price than what the street is projecting. Now, that scenario would be about $300 million below my forecast, but it would also be about $400 million higher than consensus. And remember, that assumes that these additional vehicles are all base price standard range Model Ys, which is obviously unrealistic. And if we again look at our list of influencing factors on ASP this quarter, we're not factoring in any of those other tailwinds that may occur. So I'm having a hard time finding a path to auto revenue X credits being that low unless I'm way off on Model S for some reason. but if not, I really can't see Model 3 and Y average selling prices dropping that much from Q2, and again, I see them increasing in my forecast, even factoring in the impact of the standard range Model Y. So obviously we'll find out tomorrow, but I hope this helps contextualize the numbers that we do end up getting. It certainly does for me, which is why we spend the time going through it. All right, next up, we've just got a couple of quick analyst notes ahead of earnings. So Bank of America today increasing their Tesla price target from $800 per share up to $900, apparently attributed to Tesla's, quote, track record of growth, consistent capital raises, and overall investor hype, end quote. Sounds kind of like a begrudging increase to me. Anyway, we also got an update from Morgan Stanley. They also have a $900 price target on the stock that has remained the same. Not a whole lot I thought worth sharing from the note, kind of just the musings of Adam Jonas, stuff that we've kind of talked about. But one thing I found interesting, he did kind of wrap up the note by saying, quote, and oh, as for Q3 results, they should be pretty good. I mean, you saw their deliveries beat by nearly 10% while the rest of the industry is scrambling. How'd they do that? And what else could they be getting right along the way? End quote. So I think it's just worth noting as we head into earnings and with the context of the consensus estimates that we just went through, that expectations probably are a little bit higher than that. My hunch is that expectations are probably more like $1.80 or so now, and I think those increasing expectations have probably played a pretty significant role in the stock price movement that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. So where we go after earnings, anybody's guess, but obviously it'll be a mixture of both the earnings report, but then also what probably has been a little bit underemphasized over the last couple of quarters is what Tesla has to say and how that might shape the outlook for the rest of this year and into next. If Tesla comes out and talks about supply chain challenges, 4680s not being ready, Berlin and Texas uncertainty, things like that are going to shape the reaction just as much, if not more, than what the results for Q3 are. But my thought is that eventually then the market will process that. So we'll see. I actually think the call will probably go a little bit better than usual because this should be, unless Elon changed his mind, the first quarterly call without Elon. And while I love having Elon on the call, Wall Street, I think, doesn't really understand him sometimes. So they might be less prone to a negative reaction or interpretation from comments from Zach and Drew versus the kind of things that Elon may have talked about. All right, next up here, we've got a couple of pieces of news on NHTSA. Reuters is reporting that President Biden plans to nominate the current deputy administrator for NHTSA, Stephen Cliff, who has been the deputy administrator since February and Reuters says is overseeing the department's ongoing safety probe of Tesla. I don't know a ton about his background. Looks like he's been involved with the California Air and Resources Board and the California DOT, so probably has a lot of experience with Tesla. But of course, the last time we talked about NHTSA, we were talking about them sending a letter to Tesla asking them to explain why an additional safety feature was not issued as a recall, which obviously I didn't understand the logic of that. So I do have some concerns if this person is overseeing that effort. And adding to that concern is another part of this report from Reuters where they say that, quote, an official separately told Reuters that Duke University engineering and computer science professor Missy Cummings is being named a new senior advisor for safety at NHTSA, end quote. This is a person that has been very vocal and very clearly not a fan of Tesla's approach to autonomy. You don't have to go through too many tweets to find some that are very negative towards Tesla. Here is one from last year where she's quote tweeting Tesla charts of all people, one of the primary Twitter accounts for TeslaQ. How she even comes across this tweet in the first place is a very interesting question. This is Tesla charts quote tweeting Kathy Wood, and then it just says, for those of you blocked, with the TeslaQ hashtag. There's no at Missy Cummings, there's nothing there, it's just a Tesla charts tweet and a TeslaQ hashtag. So Missy Cummings quote tweets this and says, LMAO, there is no way, in capitals, Tesla will have a viable robotaxi service this year. My lab has been running controlled experiments on Tesla Autopilot, and I can say with certainty that they are not even close to being ready. My student on this project should get hazardous duty pay. So she was obviously right about Tesla not having a robotaxi service in 2020, but I'm not sure you would have found even many bulls that would have thought that last year. The bigger question is why is she, quote, tweeting TeslaQ, and why is she doing it in such an unprofessional way? And like I said, that is certainly not the only tweet. Here's one where she is saying that there will be some limited public use of autonomous vehicle technology in narrow areas, but actual full self-driving for any kind of vehicle for any company? No, not unless we have some new breakthrough. That was tweeted just this August, and while she's certainly entitled to that opinion, that's a very conclusive statement and certainly seems close-minded. Here's another thread where she highlights an extremely normal business practice disclaimer from Tesla from their 10Q, saying, quote, it is amazing to me that people ignore three little words in Tesla's 10Q, or at all. You were told by the company itself that it recognizes its FSD claims may not be possible. One day, I will be able to use all this to teach the sunk cost bias, end quote. Speaking of bias, it certainly seems like there's some bias right there in that tweet. She has already definitively determined in her mind that there is no way that Tesla can be successful, and she's already planning on teaching about that when it happens. Again, this seems very close-minded. Oh, and by the way, this tweet also in response to a Tesla Q discussion. On my Twitter account, I can't even see the tweet that she is replying to because I've actually been blocked by that person despite having never, ever interacted with them. So this is a person that's using the Tesla Q block list that they put together to try to filter out any dissenting opinions or counterarguments to the stuff that they try to push on social media. These are the kind of people that Missy Cummings is interacting with, and yet she makes quips about putting the quote-unquote Tesla trolls in timeout. On one occasion where she was pressed for any positive comments on Tesla, somebody did reply in her defense, noting that one of her studies mentioned the positive environmental benefits that Tesla's pursuit of fully electric vehicles would have, and then she replied to that saying, plus one, also love how they sell cars, and that she has a Tesla jacket given to me as a thank you for talking with their engineers that she wears proudly. So maybe some positive things in there, and again, she is entitled to her opinion, certainly. But from her tweets, at least it does seem like there is some underlying negativity towards the company. And even if not, she is clearly, clearly not in favor of Tesla's approach and strategy. Having this person as a senior safety advisor for NHTSA, I don't believe that is good news for Tesla. Now, how important is that position? I don't really have any idea. I did look up the NHTSA org chart. And don't get confused by the headline here. Remember, the second-in-command thing, that was about Stephen Clif moving up from second-in-command, not about Missy Cummings. But anyway, looking at the org chart, there doesn't seem to be any senior safety advisors anywhere in that org chart. So my interpretation of that is that this may still be sort of an external position where NHTSA may seek some input, but wouldn't have any sort of decision-making authority. Again, I don't know that. I'm just speculating there. If anyone has a better understanding on that, please let me know. When I did hear this news, I did reach out to Missy Cummings to invite her to speak on the podcast. Certainly welcome those open discussions, and maybe she can clarify some things if she feels that I have gotten anything wrong here. The invite is open, so we will see. All right, next up here, we've got a small update on the Cybertruck. Drive Tesla Canada has obtained some footage of the Cybertruck driving around, and it's another low-quality video, but you can see in this video some side-view mirrors. Obviously, the prototype that we've seen so far has not had those. Elon did reply today to somebody asking about the side view mirrors, and he said, quote, they're required by law, but designed to be easy to remove by owners, end quote. So laws around this vary by state, but thankfully some Jeep owners have put together a list of what those laws are in each state. I will link to that in the description. Unfortunately, it's 4 years old, but I doubt the regulations on those things are changing too quickly. So I would imagine that most of these are still valid if you do want to take a look at what the regulations are for your state. All right, lastly today is an update on Giga New York from a journalist in New York who's reporting that the state is in the process of selling and or scrapping manufacturing equipment that it purchased for Tesla and Panasonic, originally valued at $207 million. I wouldn't be surprised if that equipment predated Tesla and maybe was SolarCity stuff. So obviously that doesn't really sound great, but if you do read on through the thread, the last tweet in this thread says, quote, New York Creates says a large part of the reason it is moving the equipment now, much of it, which remains in the Riverbend facility, is Tesla needs more room to install new tools it has purchased in order to, quote, ramp up and expand operations, end quote. So out with some old equipment, maybe a disappointing ROI on that equipment, but opening up some space for new equipment that hopefully ramps up some things from New York that could be solar roof specifically. Tesla also makes supercharging equipment there and maybe a few other things as well. So something to keep an eye on there, but that will wrap things up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, October 20th episode of Tesla Daily, otherwise known as Q3 Earnings. Thank you.